Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to praise and to worship you. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you for this family coming together into this fellowship. Lord, may we just tune our hearts and minds to you this morning and remembering why we're here to begin with. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. Sing with me.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see my.
Nothing can stand against the power of God.
Let's do that again one more time.
All my
Amen. The battle belongs to you. It belongs to God. And that's why we have our My Three. It's because we know the battle belongs to God. We're not the ones who save anybody. And we keep pressing in. You know, oftentimes when we go to God and we ask him to answer our prayers or we talk to him, what do we get? We get one of three answers. We get a yes, a no, and a not yet. And sometimes the not yet is what drives us crazy because we're wondering, God, when? But the truth is that we always remember that God is working. He knows the heart of each one of the people that we're lifting up in prayer. He knows what's going on in their lives, and he knows when that perfect time is for them. So let's continue to press in, remembering that this is God's battle and that he wants each and every person around us to come into a relationship with Jesus. Let's continue to lift them up in prayer each and every day this week. And let's do that at this moment where we think of the three people in our lives that we know that don't have Jesus, and let's pray for them by name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we know there is hurting and lost people all around us. Father, you have laid people in on our hearts and our minds that we are called to pray for and to pray for daily that they may come into relationship with you. Lord, we lift them up at this time. We lift up each one by name. Lord, that they may learn to walk in your goodness, that they may learn that the battle is yours and you've already won. Lord, may we trust you inside of that, and may we walk it out ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
There was a moment when the light
of 1,000 hallelujahs and many more. Lord, you are so good. You are a good, good Father. And we just praise you this morning because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated.
You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of fun, haven't we? Looking at the Life of Christ series. And I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to welcome those that are joining us online and on the radio. We're thankful for each of you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time before we dive into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word, that we have the freedom to assemble in the way that we do. Lord, I ask that this morning the words that are spoken are your words and not my own. I ask that if anything comes out of me that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But Lord, we ask that your word penetrate even the hardest of hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen Jesus teaching in the synagogues in Capernaum. And it was in those moments we saw Jesus challenging them to rethink the way things have always been. We saw him challenging the disciples, and he cut against the grain of society. And it was such a heavy presence and a thing that Jesus was asking of the people that many walked away from Jesus after everything he had said. But there was those who did not. We were told in the passage last week that when everybody else had walked away, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, well, are you guys going too? And Peter responded, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. I thought it was interesting how the disciples chose to respond to Jesus inside of that moment. You know, that particular time in history, many of the Jews believed that their religion would save them. That if they followed the right rules and if they did the right rituals and everything, that they would go to heaven. That they themselves would have eternal life. And yet the disciples said, Jesus is the one with those words. And we know when we look throughout the Old Testament, the laws in which God handed down, the things that they did, even down to the sacrifices, all pointed to Jesus himself. That was the point of it. And here we saw the disciples understanding, starting to shift their mindset that it wasn't those things, but it was Jesus that would give them eternal life. In our passage this morning, we're going to be over in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23 for anyone who wants to follow along. And inside of this passage, we see Jesus and his disciples being attacked for not keeping the traditions of the law. For not keeping the law, they weren't accused for not keeping, but the traditions of the law. You know, inside of these passages, we see how traditions can often trap us from seeing the fullness of what God has for us. That we're being called to align our lives with God and to seek his will, to honor him in all that we do, following the examples that Jesus has set for us. And here's the thing, guys. A relationship with Jesus and everything he asks of us starts with our hearts. That's where it starts. So let's dive in this morning, and we're going to start with verses 1 and 2. And it says, the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, and they observed that some of his disciples were eating bread with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. You know, Jesus has been causing quite the stir when he came onto the scene. He had been teaching all around. And there was a lot of people who really liked what Jesus was saying. They really enjoyed his time and his presence and the words that were coming out. But not everybody felt the same way about Jesus. In fact, here in this passage, we see that some of the Pharisees and the scribes left Jerusalem to go and watch Jesus. See, they were trying to figure out something to criticize Jesus on. They were trying to see him slip up in some particular way, and they wanted to be able to do that publicly so they could hopefully disgrace him so people stop watching him. As one commentator put it, they basically sent religious hitmen out to get Jesus. And they were trying to figure out what they could use against him so people would stop following him. And you know, this isn't the first time they've done this. But in this particular case, they observed something. They observed that the disciples were eating bread without washing their hands first. And I'll be the first to say, wash your hands before you eat. Wash your hands before you cook the food. You know, just in general, wash your hands. But nevertheless, they observed the disciples not washing their hands before they ate. They had absolutely no interest. And it was interesting about this washing. See, when they said to wash their hands, it had nothing to do with personal hygiene. They didn't bust out the soap and lather up. They simply rinsed their hands. What they were upset about is that the disciples were not following the rules of ceremonial washing that had been added to addition of the law. This was all part of the oral traditions. This wasn't God's command. This wasn't set aside in that basis. They just expected them because the elder said to do it. Mark continues in verses 3 and 4, and it says, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, keeping the traditions of the elders. You see, the traditions of the elders was a set of ceremonial practices like washing hands that added to the law that was handed down from generation to generation. And the purpose of these practices was to help people know God's will in a particular situation. The problem is often these things became more binding than God's law itself. They became more important than what God had handed down on his own. And he begins here, and Mark gave an example in that passage about the marketplace. That when they would come back from the marketplace, they would not only wash their hands, and they would do that before they cooked, before they touched any food, but they would do this because they were worried they defiled themselves by touching someone or something that was unclean in the market. So they would have to go, and they'd have to have that water poured over their hands as ceremonially cleansing themselves from anything they considered unclean. Now, many of the Jews took it even a step further and would wash their pots and pans and everything out of fear that it had been defiled by a Samaritan or a Gentile. And, you know, we kind of chuckle at that reason that they washed their pots and pans because they were worried about ceremonial uncleanliness. I don't know about you guys, I wash my pots and pans because they're dirty. And before I want to cook in them again, I want to make sure that they're cleaned up. I don't wash them out of fear of being contaminated spiritually. But that was their reason. But, you know, we can kind of laugh at this idea that they're sitting here and they're worried that anything in the world may contaminate them spiritually. We can kind of chuckle like, that's not how it works. But you know, it wasn't that many years ago that a lot of churches had extra rules like that, wasn't it? You know, there was a time when a lot of churches said that you can't go to the movies or you can't watch any movies, and it wasn't because all movies were bad. It wasn't because all movies were evil. No, the reason they didn't want was they were concerned of defiling themselves. So they just blocked out all movies. They did the same thing with dances. You know, not all dancing is bad. King David himself danced in front of the ark as they brought him back into Jerusalem. But dancing was a no-go because people were worried that it would defile themselves. And the same can be said for music, and it can be said for the internet as well. That we can get into this idea that all of these things, if they have a hint of possibility, that we have to block them out completely. And the truth is, yes, every one of these things that we're talking about inside of that list can bring evil into our lives. Every one of those things, when used wrongly, can defile us from the inside out. It can put our hearts and minds in places it shouldn't be. It has the ability, but on the same hand, Every one of those things can be amazing tools that glorify God. Every one of those things we've talked about. I want to think about movies for a moment. There are amazing movies out there that can move us, that can help us see and better understand who God is. I mean, The Passion of the Christ gives us this picture of what happened on that cross. It moves for us from within. And what is more special than watching that newlywed couple take their first dance as husband and wife, lovingly embracing each other? Or the father-daughter having that dance on her wedding day as he gave her away? Those are loving things. It's the same with music. You know, God tells us to make a joyful noise unto him. Music can have power to move us and guide us. And it's the same with the internet. The internet has some evil things in it. But there's also amazing tools and resources that's available to us. Think of all the people that we can reach for the sake of the gospel. I think we heard Greg Groeschel speak this week at a conference, and he talked about they're expecting the Bible app that their church put together. I bet most of you have it on your phone. It's going to hit, I think he said, 1 billion downloads here in the next couple years. In the next year or two, I think is what he said, they'll hit the billion mark. 1 billion people having the Word of God put in front of them. And for some of them, it's the only way they can have the Word of God in front of them. There's great potential of good in every one of these things. Just because something has the potential for evil doesn't mean that we block it out completely. We look how God can use it. But the Pharisees saw everything the disciples were doing, and they didn't like it. And it tells us in verse 5, so the Pharisees and the scribe asked him, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating bread with ceremonially unclean hands? Now, this riled up the Pharisees. Like, how dare the disciples not do what has been done for centuries? They were angry at Jesus for allowing them to depart from all of these religious traditions. Not God's perfect standards or the Torah or anything like that. That's not what Jesus was saying. No, what he was saying is these traditions that man made up, he allowed the disciples not to do that. And they were upset. And Jesus responds to them in verse 6 and 7 and says, and he answered them, Isaiah prophesies correctly about you, hypocrites, as it was written. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines of human commands. Jesus came out swinging on this case, and he held nothing back. In fact, it tells us right there that he called them hypocrites. I'm sure it went over real well with the Pharisees and the scribes standing there. But Jesus, what he did is he quoted Isaiah 29:13 actually to back up his claim of what they were doing. What Jesus is saying here is that a hypocrite is someone who worship is merely outward and not from the heart. You know, it's like today, if the only time that you even give God a thought is when you're sitting here in church, but the rest of your life looks like the world outside and has no reflection of God in you, you may be a religious hypocrite. If the only time that you worship God is when others are watching, and if you're more concerned what the world around you thinks of you and not what God thinks of you, you may be a religious hypocrite. That's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees inside of this moment. You know, if we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made it clear that true purity and worship is a matter of an inward love and a right attitude, not just an action that we do. That we could do all the right things, but for all the wrong reason, leaving us spiritually hungry, leaving our hearts and minds wanting more. Truly following God starts within our hearts. That's where it starts. That's why he always says to come to Jesus as you are. You know, we tell it all the time. It doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter where you're at in the world, what you've been through, what you're currently going through, come to Jesus and he's the one who's going to clean up your life. It's not just about the actions and stuff. You know, it's not just about trying to be perfect. It's about allowing God to come in and transform you from the inside out. That's what brings us into relationship with him. Jesus even clarified in verse 8 and said, abandoning the command of God, you hold on to human traditions. And the reason the Pharisees got to this point is because they allowed their traditions to trap them. Jesus says in verse 9, he also said to them, you have a fine way of invalidating God's command in order to set up your traditions. What he was getting at is they had this habit of selective obedience, not real obedience at all. In fact, they would use the laws that God had given them to help them work against other laws, ones they may not like as much. And Jesus even gave us an example of what he was talking about in verses 10 through 13. And he says, for Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever speaks evil of his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, whatever benefit you might have received from me is Corban, that is an offering devoted to God, you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. You nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down, and you do many other similar things. Jesus came out swinging and went straight for the Ten Commandments, and he used the fifth commandment right out of the gate. The basic laws of Judaism, basic foundations of which we also have. He used the fifth one to honor your father and mother. And one of the ways in which the people would honor their father and mother was by taking care of them in their elderly age, is by providing what they needed as they got older. If your parents no longer could support themselves, it was your job to make sure they always had a roof over their head, that they had food in their belly, that they were taken care of and whatever they needed. Your parents would do that when you were little, and it is now your job to do that when they're older. That was what was expected. There wasn't a social safety net that we have like today. He emphasized the importance of what he was saying by bringing about anybody who speaks evil of his father and mother must be put to death. So Jesus is illustrating how the fifth commandment was broken by the Pharisees because they were observing a tradition of the elder. This Corban was a tradition of the elder. You see, they would use that Corban to get out of financially providing for their parents. Corban literally means an offering or a gift dedicated to God. And according to the traditions of the elders, if you pronounce something Corban, it could not be given to any other person, including your parents. So that money and things that you had set aside that was designed to take care of your parents, if you said that that was Corban, you no longer could use it to give to your parents to take care of. But here's the real kicker to Corban. This is the tradition of the elder to do that. The property or money that you dedicated to God, that was supposed to be set aside and given to God, could still be used by you for your own personal gain and gratification. So you couldn't give it away to somebody that was in need, but you could continue to use that for your own personal gain. Think about that for a minute. But see, that isn't God's law. That was a tradition of the elder. And that tradition allowed the people to break one of the Ten Commandments. Even if you decided you no longer wanted to make that Corban, even if you decided, you know what, I'm going to have a change of heart, I want to help my parents, you couldn't go back on that. Because when you did that, you also told the Pharisees and the scribes what you were dedicating to God. And you couldn't, weren't allowed to. The leaders actually used Numbers chapter 30, which talks about when we make a promise to God, as a reason they wouldn't let anybody go against it. They literally used Bible verses against each other to try to get away from an area they didn't want to fulfill. And we can find ourselves in that same situation if we don't take the time to understand the purpose of the text that God has given us. Jesus was criticizing the scribes and the Pharisees inside of this moment for observing the traditions of man, but neglecting God's greater law of love. If we ever look at the Ten Commandments, we look at the laws and stuff in which God has handed down, they always point back to what? Love. It talks about pointing us towards him and the love that God has for us. He told us to honor our parents. He told us to show love to our parents. Yet the Pharisees and the scribes were more concerned with the way it looked on the outside. Because if you said all of this is for God, instead of quietly taking care of your parents, which one brings you more glory by man? Look at what I'm giving to God. But you're not noticing the fact that you're actually taking, you're put something else that God has asked you to do to the side. They were worried about appearance of godliness, not actual godliness. Jesus emphasized to the crowd that true godliness begins within our heart. He says in verses 14 through 16, summoning the crowd again, he told them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, nothing that goes into a person from outside can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defiles him. And if anyone has ears to hear, he should listen. Jesus cuts straight to the heart of the matter. And he says that within and not from without, that defiles us. You know, religious leaders that were around Jesus were worried about the surface level of a person's faith. They were worried about the surface level of purity. But Jesus was saying, no, no, no. It's about the heart. It's about what's inside of us that brings about true godliness. That is about having a transformed heart, not just following a bunch of rules and having this appearance of godliness, not just walking into the synagogue, but allowing God to transform us from the inside out. And then in 17 to 19, he says, when he went into the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, are you also as lacking in understanding? Don't you realize that nothing going into the person from the outside can defile him? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into the stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. It's kind of a creative way of saying that. But when the disciples had heard everything that Jesus had been saying, they found themselves a little perplexed. Everything Jesus had said, all the statements ran counter to their Jewish upbringing about dietary restrictions and godly living. We can find ourselves in that same situation as the disciples where we hear things in the scriptures that we may not have never been taught before. When we hear things in the scriptures that push against the grain of our society and the way we were raised. And that's when we need to go to the scriptures and see what the scriptures actually teach us. Not just taking man's word for it, not just taking man's tradition for it, but to actually see what the word of God says. Each one of us have been raised in different traditions and backgrounds. And it's fun when I talk to many of you, I find all these different backgrounds that are assembled together that make up the Mount Carroll Church of God. And I love it. But there are times that we have to reflect in ourselves. What were we taught at a young age that doesn't actually fit what the Word of God says? I mean, the way I was raised when I was younger, I couldn't have electricity. I love electricity. I wasn't allowed to drive cars. I love driving my truck. And they said, but that was all traditions of man. It wasn't what the Word of God actually said. You know, Jesus is saying that true obedience is from in our heart. It's a love of God, not just an outward act of keeping the rules. You know, if we look at Matthew 5:8, and it's not on the screen, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Because you see, it's not the world around us. It's not the sin of the world that produces impurities in our lives. Let me say that one more time. It's not the world around us. It's not the sins of the world that defile us. It's not those things that cause sin in ourselves. It's our sin that causes the division between us and God. It's our things that we allow our heart to go to that causes this division between us and God and brings sin into our lives. It's not the world. It's not the things of this world. It's within our hearts. And Jesus closes out in 22:23, and he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For within, from within our people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulterers, greed, evil action, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And all these evil things comes from within and defile a person. That can be hard to hear. It's no one else's but our own that puts us into that position. See, everyone's sin starts from within us. A lingering eye, coveting what is not yours, hating what we're called to not hate, putting ourselves above God. And all of these things start within our heart. You know, I know the question in the bulletin this week is, where is your heart? But I want you to take it, I want to take it a little bit further this morning and maybe even scratch it out on the question area. What in your heart are you putting before God? What in your heart has a higher priority than God? Because I'm going to tell you, it all starts with our heart. Any downfall, any struggle, anything I see people often face, it often starts with their heart. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer in closing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together, to learn who you are, to study, to worship. Lord, may we examine our hearts and our minds. May we find peace that only comes from you. Lord, may we not declare different areas of our life, Corbin, that you have given us to help others. Lord, we pray all of that in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And with that, we're dismissing a little differently today. What I'm going to ask is that I just want to say, may God bless you, may he keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you, and may he give you rest. God bless, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Times I'm on my knees, I know you came just for me to save from death what I deserve. You gave your life for me to live. He died for you, he died for me. He paid the price. King and God, my Savior, friend. Your love and grace, what gifts to have for what you did on that tree. You gave me life, you set me free.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.